This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alrighty, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, As-salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Hopefully everyone is able to hear me decently well. Assalamu alaikum, Fatima.
Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me pretty well?
Yeah, I can hear you well. What about me?
Okay, awesome. And there should be no on the Instagram live stream, if y'all could just chime in and let us know if there's any sort of connection issues with the audio or any sort of interference, that would be great.
Yeah, just let us know if there's like an echo or if you guys cannot hear as well. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you really good, like really clearly right now. But inshallah, so if you guys have any sort of on Instagram or on Facebook, if anybody's on Facebook and you hear like any sort of interference, let us know, inshallah. Okay, awesome. So you can hear and see us. Very good. Okay, cool. So there should be no interference through audio or video through Instagram or Facebook, and we should be good to go, inshallah. We cracked the code with technology this week, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. So myself and Ustada Fatima, we are back for another session of soul food. This feels really weird, by the way, guys, because I'm wearing headphones that are really noise canceling. So like, I feel like I'm on like an NPR podcast right now. It feels very weird. But alhamdulillah.
I mean, for me, it's weird that we have like both the laptop and then our computer. Well, I'm using my iPad right now. And so I'm like, I don't know where to look. I'm looking in five different places.
I'm seeing double of Ustada Fatima right now. This is more than we see each other normally every week.
And,
it's just a lot. It's a lot, you know. But alhamdulillah, we're going to be kind of doing a short few verses today, just keeping it kind of short and sweet to end the week. We've come to this almost, you know, I've read through some of the commentaries of the surah, and a lot of the scholars of Islamic commentary, of Quranic commentary, they say that the verses that we're about to cover today, and Ustada Fatima will give us a little bit of a background before it, are actually like the climax of the story of Musa and Fir'aun. That, you know, for the past, you know, month or two, we've been talking about the, you know, the birth of Prophet Musa and how he was sent down a river by his mother and, you know, him being picked up at the palace itself by Asiya, Salamun Alayha, the wife of Fir'aun, who picked him up. And the Prophet ﷺ actually described Asiya as one of the best women of all time, right? Because of her mercy that she had towards Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to reach this ultimate kind of climax of the story where the persecution of the Bani Israel goes to like a very, very serious kind of extent. And we all know as the background, Fir'aun used to torture the Bani Israel before, right? And we talked about this, that he used to kill off the sons every other year during this time period where Harun was actually the brother of Prophet Musa who survived. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam himself was the one whose year was in danger. Mm-hmm. And so now, inshallah, we're going to be kind of covering, Ustada Fatima is going to give us a little bit of a background about, you know, why it got to this extent where we find in verse 40 that Fir'aun is like chasing Prophet Musa to the sea called the Red Sea. Yeah. So, Ustada Fatima, why, like, what got it to this extent with, you know, and obviously we know that we talked a little bit about last week how Allah had talked to Musa directly, right? And Musa, one of Musa alayhi salam's greatest kind of blessings was that he was one of the ones who directly spoke to Allah. And Allah told him that he has to face Fir'aun. And Prophet Musa made this dua, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. And then he goes and confronts Fir'aun, and there was something that went down there. So what was it exactly that kind of brought this scenario to where it is right now?
Yeah, so like we talked about it last week, you know, Musa alayhi salam, and you mentioned, you know, he's talking to Allah. Allah tells him, you have to go to Fir'aun, you have to tell him, you know, that you're a tyrant. You're someone who crosses the boundaries of people. You don't treat people well. And Musa alayhi salam goes with his brother. You know, Musa alayhi salam doesn't even go by himself. He goes with his brother. And the interesting thing is that Musa alayhi salam you know, he's in this situation and he goes to Fir'aun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Musa alayhi salam even gets to Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Musa alayhi salam very clear instructions. He lets him know, like, yes, this person is crazy. He's basically what we would call a psychopath. He treats people in a way that is not okay. But when you speak to him, you need to speak to him gently. And speak to him gently just because there may be a possibility that he could turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he can turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam and his brother, they go to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun immediately just completely ignores Musa Harun alayhi salam. And he turns to Musa alayhi salam, he says, فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَىٰ. He says, who is your Lord, O Moses? Okay, who's your Lord, Musa? And the interesting thing is that when there are two people there and two people are bringing a message to you, you know, if myself and like someone else came to you, stop something, and we're like, hey, we brought this message, you will ask the both of us, like, okay, why, what is this? But Fir'aun is so disrespectful in his address that he only addresses Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam replies and he says, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَىٰ. He says that our Lord is the one who gave everything its form. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, gave everything its form, and then he gave it guidance. And Fir'aun thinks he's so smart. You know, he says, so then he turns to him, he says, فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَىٰ. What about the people who came before? Like, are you telling me that, like, the generations that came before believed in this Lord of yours? Basically, that's what he's saying. And Musa alayhi salam, he doesn't fall for the trap. He says, قَالَ إِلْمُهَا إِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَاب. That my Lord has this written down in records. Like, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took care of the nations that came before. That's a history lesson I'm not here to give you. That's basically what Musa alayhi salam tells him. لَا يَدِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَىٰ. And he says that my Lord does not forget or make a mistake. And he's like letting Fir'aun know that, like, listen, you think you're so great, but this is, and you think you're God, because we talked about this in the last session, where Fir'aun thought he literally asked Haman to build what? These towers that are so high so that he can go meet the Lord of Musa. And Musa alayhi salam continues to explain who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He says, Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-ardha mahdan. He is the one who has spread out the earth for you. وَسَلَكَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا سُبُلَىٰ. And traced out its routes for you. وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And he sent water down from the sky. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِن نَبَاتٍ شَتَّىٰ. And it brought forth every kind of plant. And then he says, كُلُوا وَرْعَوْا أَنْعَامَكُمْ. So that you eat and graze your cattle with it. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِأُولِي النُّهَىٰ. And these are signs for the people of understanding. And so the next thing that happened was that Musa alayhi salam, now he's bringing this message, he presents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Fir'aun, he sees all of these signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought forth. You know, Musa alayhi salam shows all of the signs to Fir'aun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally talks about it, he says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا كُلَّهَا. We showed him all of the signs. We showed Fir'aun all of the signs. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is that not only did we give Fir'aun a primer, we showed him the whole movie. Like, we show you how your life will end up if you do not believe, if you do not take this properly. فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى. Not only did he deny them, but he refused. He turned away. فَكَذَّبَ وَأَبَى. He refused it. He turned away. And then he tried to turn everybody else against Musa alayhi salam. And so what he starts to do is that he starts to speak very loudly. Qala, he starts to like say it so everybody else can hear. Ajitana litukhrijana min ardina bisihrika ya Musa. Are you coming to us to take us out of our land? Which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed in Surah Al-Qasas, what we talked about last time. It wasn't your land. It was not your land. You had no right over this land. But what does Fir'aun say? Very loudly. You know how, I don't know if you guys have siblings, but I have siblings. And a hit from your siblings doesn't hurt until your mom is sitting in the same room. You know what I'm saying? You sitting there with your siblings and they come and they just like tap you. But if your mom is there, you're like, ah, oh my God, I'm dying, I'm dead. I can't breathe. Take me to the hospital right now. It's over, life's over. As you can tell, I have brothers. So I have to make sure that at the time, I get them in the best time. But that's what Fir'aun is doing. He's trying to call attention to this whole situation. And this is not the first time Musa alayhi salam was put in this type of situation. You remember when he accidentally killed the man And what happened when he came back the next day? The guy starts to yell very loudly. Are you going to kill me like you tried to kill, like you killed that guy yesterday? So everybody can take the attention off of him. So Pharaoh says, Ajetana li tukhrijana min ardina ya bisihrika ya Musa. Did you come to us to drive us out of our land with your sorcery, with your magic? And then Musa alayhi salam, he says, it goes on and he says, Pharaoh goes on and says, فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرِكَ مِثْلِهِ, that we will confront you with some magic that can match yours. He's like, you think you're so great? I have magic that can match you. And then he says, فَجَعَ الْبَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْئِدًا, set up an appointment between us. Like, let's have a match. Let's duel this out. He says, set up an appointment between us. لَا نُخْلِفُهُ نَحْلُ وَلَا أَنْتَ مَكَانٍ سُوَى. And in this, the, this appointment will be, neither one of us will back out of it, basically. You cannot cancel the appointment. It has to happen. It's a time. Set up a date. We will stand here and we'll go between each other. And I'm going to bring all my magic. You'll bring all your magic, because Pharaoh was making it seem like this magic. Though Pharaoh knew what Musa alayhi salam had, the signs that Musa alayhi salam came with were not magic. Pharaoh knew that. But he said, you know what? I'll bring my magic. You bring your magic. Let's set up a time and date. Let's get it done. Wala anta makanan suwa. And he says that it'll be in a mutually agreeable place. That we're both going to come to a place that is mutually agreeable. And then, qala, he said, maw'idukum yawm az-zina. We're going to do this on a day of celebration. This is when everybody is out there. You know, so that it's not going to be a day that, you know, it's like, oh, in the backyard. Like, no, this is going to be in the middle of the marketplace, a day of celebration, and yuhshara an-nas duha, and the people will come when the sun has risen high, meaning this is the prime time of the day. So fatawalla fir'aunu fajama'a kaydahu thumma ata. So Pharaoh went back and he got all his people, he gathered his resources, and then he came. So meaning he set up his stage, he taught his magicians exactly what to do, because Pharaoh, he knew what Musa was coming with. It wasn't going to be a surprise to Pharaoh. It's just that everybody else would be gathered there. So Musa, Pharaoh taught the magicians what they would do. قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى وَيْلَكُمْ لَا تَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا فَيُسْحِتَكُمْ بِأَذَابٍ. So Musa al-Islam said to them, don't make up lies against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa al-Islam was just letting them know, like, you don't even know what you're getting yourself into. You think this is magic? This is not magic. This is not magic. These are signs from God. These are signs from God. And the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presenting a sign to a people is that if you deny that sign, then you become eligible for punishment. You've become eligible for your people to be wiped out. And so Musa alayhi salam is saying, don't do this. Don't set yourself up. For yushitakum bi'adab, you will be destroyed. Like, that's what Musa alayhi salam says, you're going to be destroyed. قَدَ خَابَ مَنْ افْتَرَى. And whoever invents lies, they always fall, they always fail. So they discuss upon themselves, they talk secretly, they develop all of these plans. And what they did was, just to keep going, is that they now came and it was a day. So what they said to Musa alayhi salam was, Ya Musa, إِمَّا أَنْ تُلْقِيَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ نَكُونَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ أَلْقَى. They said, why don't you go first, or we can go first? And Musa alayhi salam says, Bal alku, you guys go first. He says, you guys, you go first. So they throw their things down. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَأَصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. That they threw their sorcery, they threw their ropes down, and their staff seemed to be moving like a snake. Again, Pharaoh had a primer to the miracles that Musa alayhi salam came with. And so he's teaching his sorcerers what to do. And so they threw their staffs down. Their staffs turned into a snake. And the thing about this is that when they threw it down, they actually said, in the name of Pharaoh, in the power of Pharaoh, the Izzat of Pharaoh, in the power of Pharaoh, and they threw it down because Pharaoh thought he was God. And he's the one who trained them. And so they said, in the power of Pharaoh, and they threw their staffs down, and it became like a moving snake. And you remember, Musa al-Islam doesn't have a lot of good experiences with moving snakes, okay? He's on top of a mountain talking to God. God tells him to throw his staff down. It turns into a snake. Musa al-Islam was scared. God said, pick it up and don't be scared. So Musa al-Islam, you know, even though he has the miracle himself, he's like, wait, what is happening? فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. He started to move in, like he was alarmed. He started to hold himself back, he got scared. And Allah SWT says to Musa alayhi salam the same thing that Allah SWT said to Musa alayhi salam in the Valley of Tuwa. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ, don't be scared. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ أَعْلَى, you will come out on top. You have the upper hand, you're gonna come out on top. And so Musa alayhi salam, he threw down his staff. فَأَلْكِي مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا سَمِعُوا. So throw down what is in your right hand and it will swallow up everything that they made. So Musa alayhi salam threw down his staff and it swallowed up everything that they made. إِنَّ مَا سَمَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ. He says that they only produce tricks of a spirit. This is just magic. This is just magic. What they did is magic. You know, throw down your stick. Throw down your staff because that is real. Miracles from God are not magic, they're real. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى, that no sorcerer or magician can ever prosper or come over Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. No sorcerer or magician can ever be truly that great because you're just playing tricks and God doesn't play tricks. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سُجْدَدَى. Whenever they saw that Musa alayhi salam threw down his staff and he swallowed up all of their stuff, then the sorcerers, they threw themselves. Like, it's like something overcame them and they automatically just fell into sajda. فَأُلْكِيَ السَّحْرَةُ, like they were thrown into sajda. Okay, it's not even that they made the conscious decision. It's like it overcame them. فَأُلْكِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سُجْدَةً, they fell into sajda. قَالُوا, they say, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ حَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. We believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. What's so interesting here is that this whole time they had been ignoring Harun. Like Harun just did not exist. But he was still there preaching the message, bringing, talking, all these things. And that whole time they were just ignoring Harun. And what? When they realized the truth, what do? They opened their eyes. قالوا, they said, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ حَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. We believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. And then Fir'aun loses it. He loses his mind because he thinks he's a god. And now the people that he's governing over or the people that he is godly over are publicly in a place where everyone is there at a festival, admitting that they don't believe in Harun as God, I mean, believe in Fir'aun as God, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord, and they believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. So what does a tyrant do? What does someone who's oppressive do? Someone who's oppressive, when you try to go against them, they immediately threaten your life. So Fir'aun gets pissed off and he says, قَالَ آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. You, how dare you believe in him before, and believe in them, meaning believe in the message that they brought before I gave you permission to. Since when do you have to have permission to believe in God? He says, how dare you believe in him before I give you the permission to? إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرَ. He says, you know what? He must have been your master in teaching you magic, which is absolutely ridiculous. Because who taught them the tricks in the first place? Fir'aun did. They had no idea how to do these tricks. They had no idea what was coming up. But Fir'aun is the one who taught them. Out of anger, he projects his badness onto Musa al-Islam. فَلَأُقَتِّئَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. He says, I'm going to cut your hands off from the opposite. So I'll cut off your right hand and cut off your left leg. That's what he tells them. He threatens them. And then he says, وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُدُوءِ النَّخْلِ. That he is going to crucify these people and basically put them onto the trunks of palm trees. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. And he says, you will know for certain who has the more lasting and the worst punishment. He's trying to compare his punishment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's like, oh, you're worried about the hereafter, I'm gonna give you something now. It's so important for us to go through these verses in Surah Taha to understand the gravity of the situation, of what transpired between Musa and Fir'aun. Because when we get to the portion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Fir'aun drowning and this last begging, pathetic begging that he does, you will understand that the amount of value and disrespect that Fir'aun showed not only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to the people, was just absolutely disrespectful, absolutely disgusting. And so what they, but these people, they don't even, they didn't even believe in Musa alayhi salam for that long. How did they stand up to him? They said, "Lan nu'tiraka ala ma ja'ana min al-bayyinati wal-ladhi fatamana." We will never choose you over the clear signs that came in front of us. Faqati ma anta qad. Do whatever you say you're going to do. If you feel like that's what you're going to do it, then you can do what you will. Do what you think you will bring, do what you think you're going to decree. Decree what you think you're going to decree. Do it. Whatever you say you're going to do, do it. إِنَّمَا تَقَدِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. You can only have decisions, you can only make moves in this world. They literally tell Fir'aun that, like, the life that you're, the hardship that you're trying to bestow upon us is temporary. And Fir'aun was saying, what? You'll see whose punishment is going to be everlasting and more painful. They said, do whatever you want. Because you only have the ability to do these things in this world. إِنَّا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّنَا. We believe in our Lord. لِيَغْفِرْ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا. That he's going to forgive us for our mistakes. وَمَا أَقْرَحْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ. And for the sorcery that you forced us to practice. Like, you're the one who taught us. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And God is better. Because before Fir'aun said that he was better. They said, God is better. Wallahu khayrun. God is better. Wa abqa. And he's everlasting. And so the story continues with them talking to Fir'aun and things of that nature. And then Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him wahi. وَلَقَدْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى. Because Fir'aun is now, he's now going after them. He wants to punish them. He's like, I'm going to deal with you guys. I'm going to put you guys, you know, wherever, da da da. I'm going to cut your arms off, all this stuff. So وَلَقَدْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Musa alayhi salam divine revelation. And أَسْرِ بِإِبَادِي فَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ طَرِيقًا فِي الْبَحْرِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, go out at the night, بِإِبَادِي. With my servants, my beautiful servants, the ones who sacrifice so much, the ones who are being hunted. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go out in the night. And he says, فَضْرِبَ لَهُمْ طَرِيقًا فِي الْبَحْرِ. And strike a dry path for them across the sea. يَبَسَلْ لَا تَخَافُ دَرَكًا وَلَا تَخْشَى. Have no fear of being overtaken and do not be in dismay. Meaning, don't be scared. So they do this. And what happens is that فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ بِجُنُودِهِ. That Fir'aun and his army, they start to pursue them. They start to come right on their heels. فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ. And they were overwhelmed by the sea. Meaning, the sea swallowed them. Like, I don't know why I started laughing at that part. But I just feel like they kind of, فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ. Like, to be overwhelmed is literally to be drowning in all of your responsibilities. You know, to be drowning in all of the things that, you know, you feel like you have to do and all this stuff. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this woman. وَأَضَلَّ فِرْعَوْنَ قَوْمَهُ وَمَا هَدَى. فِرْعَوْنُ truly misled his people. He did not guide them. And so this is where we are at now in the story of Surah Al-Qasas. You know, that's how beautiful the Quran is. Like, it's explained in certain areas, and we took all that time to just explain, but this is where we're at now.
SubhanAllah. And I'm really, really grateful that Ustazah Fatima actually kind of gave everybody the context, because, you know, a lot of people, and Ustazah Fatima, you're definitely going to probably kind of relate to this, maybe because you've possibly gotten questions about this as well, is that, you know, people will say, oh, the Pharaoh, in his final moments did actually say, you know, like, I believe, I'm one of the Muslims. And at that point, Allah said no. Like, it's too late now at this point. Like, there's no way for you. And, you know, one of the reasons why a lot of people question, like, oh, why didn't Allah just forgive him? Because Allah is supposed to be Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, right? But you read all of the context behind it and exactly why he ended up being what he ended up being, you realize why he actually deserved it. I mean, like, yeah. Guys, one thing I want everyone to truly think about this is that, like, you know, we have right now in our modern day context, like our social lives, our cultural lives, our political lives, we have very strong feelings about certain people, right? Whether you look at any, you know, you know, tyrant in, you know, the US or in overseas or any other country, we use such like strong verbiage with those people. We're like, man, like those people, like death isn't even like a, like the death sentence even isn't even fair for them, right? They deserve something even worse. Y'all, I want you guys to think about that times 10 for Fir'aun. Like he was like that, but exponentially worse. This guy used to kill children, y'all. Like it's not just like a bad king. You know, it's not just like a guy who was like power trippy and power hungry. That's not what Pharaoh was. Pharaoh used to, I mean, you think about the genocide that, you know, happens in today's day and age, whether you're in Philistine or Syria or Burma or Africa, wherever you are, in China with the concentration camps there. Like we have such strong feelings about people who are conducting stuff like this. But then people are like, oh, Pharaoh, but he asked Allah for forgiveness at the last second. Dude, Pharaoh was like 20 times worse than these people. He was literally like described as the worst human being of all time. He killed literally generations of kids. That's what he did because he was obsessed with his own image. Okay. And so I'm glad that Ustadha Fatima gave us that context through Surah Al-Taha because it's so important to know what this man was responsible for. Right? It's so important to know what this man was responsible for. So now, in our current surah that we're covering in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah says in verse 40, Allah says, وَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. Right? So he says that, so we seized him and his armies and threw them into the sea. And what's really interesting, the scholars say something really cool about this word yami. So the word yam is actually earlier in Surah Al-Qasas described as the river that Musa's mother actually floated him down. Which is really, really cool because Allah uses the same word to describe the sea that swallowed up Fir'aun as the same word that he used as the river that floated the basket with baby Musa in it. Why? Why would he use the same word? Because you see what two people who chose different lifestyles are like.
Mm.
You know, you see the way that two people who were given certain opportunities in life, but they chose very different, and you see the end result of that, you know? And this is why human beings have such a responsibility, such a responsibility. A lot of us are given opportunities that are presented to a lot of other people. Now, what you do with those opportunities is up to you as a human being. You know, will you take it? I mean, because at the end of the day, Prophet Musa alayhi salam was also given tremendous challenges in his life. Right? Tremendous challenges. The guy was, he was floated down a river by his own mother. He was raised in a palace that he was foreign to. I mean, he accidentally committed murder, had to flee from the area of Egypt to go to Median. I mean, this is not a life that anybody would envy. He was given the challenge. But what he did is he allowed his challenges to result in gratitude and shukr and dhikr of Allah. And Fir'aun took the challenge of being a king and a ruler and an authoritarian position, and he took it to satiate his own ego. And so Allah uses the word yam, right? Fil yammi, as kind of like a really beautiful nuance as, dude, these two people were both, they had one thing in common, they were human beings. They were human beings that were given the opportunity to submit to Allah. Now, when the rest of Fir'aun's people did it, he just did not do it. And so we threw him into the sea. And so at this point, and actually in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 63, Allah, you know, and this is why Prophet Musa's story is the most vividly told story in the entire Quran, that in Surah Al-Shu'ara, in Surah Al-Taha, in Surah Al-Yunus even, you know, Allah talks a little bit about the demise of Pharaoh and the victory of Musa. And Allah says in Surah Al-Shu'ara, he says that we inspired, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى, we inspired Musa, and we told him, أَنِضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرَ, right? That we told him, with your staff, strike the sea, right? Adrib or idrib means like to strike something, to hit something. So he told him to hit the sea, the dirt that was along the sea with his staff. And it says here, فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرُقٍ قَدْ تَوْدِيلْ عَظِيمٍ, that the sea literally was like, it parted into two halves. And the two halves didn't even look like water anymore. Allah said that it actually ended up looking like mountains. That the sea parted so wide that the sea did not look like a sea anymore. Like, y'all, if you went to like LA or like Florida, hope you didn't go there right now, inshallah. Please don't be one of the people that go to Florida right now. And you go to like the ocean or you see a giant body of water, you're very accustomed to seeing waves, maybe you're accustomed to seeing, you know, like, you know, whatever it is, like the ocean has, you know, the waves and the currents and the streams and all that stuff. And even the a little bit of a stronger wave worries people.
Yeah. Right?
They see a wave coming, they're like, oh, get out of the water, get out of the water, the tide's coming in, right? And we've seen this several times through, you know, science videos and videos of like geography and stuff. You see when the wave and the tide comes in, people run because they're afraid that the current's too strong. Now imagine the sea literally at the height of a mountain. And Allah says, go through it, Musa. And he has to take a leap of faith at this point to go through that
and thing. Take his people with him.
Take his people. It's one thing. And this is a
kind of. And Banu Israel were not easy people to deal with.
They're not easy people, man. And we'll talk about this later that they're kind of flippity floppity right here, right? Like they go from here, they go to there. And this is why the Banu Israel were always people who were like, they were always talked about in the Quran as people who were, they were grateful and that they were ungrateful. They were good mm-hmm. and then they turned against Allah. This is the common narrative with his people. And so, when Musa was, he sees the water part like mountains, and he's like, okay, now it's one thing for me to even trust to go through this right now. I'm like, I can just wait 3 seconds until whatever's happening is over, and this thing is gonna about to like drop on me like a sandstorm, like a rainstorm. But now I have to tell all these people to follow me as well. It's a huge responsibility. It's a huge responsibility. And I mean, Asada Fatima, you can kind of attest to this as well, is that, you know, sometimes we take risks for ourselves because we know that, you know, I'm me and I'm responsible for myself. But it's a whole nother thing to ask somebody to do something that you're even unsure about.
Yeah. If you're not confident, if you're not, you know, like, okay, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got me. I know that we're going to get through this. Mm. And you're trying to convince other people to go with you. People see, can smell through it, you know? If you're, for example, when people on Instagram, when people are always trying to get you to buy products, right? And you know they don't believe in those products themselves, are you gonna spend your money on it? No, it's a very small chance. There are very few people who are what we call submit in Allah thought now. I hear it in our day. Very few people in the world like that. And the thing is too, as leaders, as people who have to guide other people, it's so important that your faith is rooted in whatever it is you're guiding someone through. Like you cannot be flip-floppy, wishy-washy by any means.
SubhanAllah. And you know, one of the things is like a lot of people are going to sit here and we're like, well, a lot of us aren't like Musa. We're not prophets or imams or teachers or anything like that. But you know what? Everybody has a bit of responsibility in their life. Everybody does. Whether it's you being an older sibling, or maybe even you being an older role model figure for somebody as you grow up, or you being a cousin or a parent or an uncle or an auntie or whatever it is, you all have a responsibility over people. And there will be positions in your life where you are required to show strength, even if you're afraid, you are terrified. I mean, look at parents, man. You know, SubhanAllah, you know, one of my most fond memories was always, you know, when I was a kid, and, you know, there would be like, and I used to live in Tennessee. I mean, Texas is pretty relatable here too, is that we had like bad storms, right? We always had bad storms being in the South. And whenever like, you know, spring season came, you'd be really kind of, and kids, you know, me being 6 years old in first grade in Memphis, Tennessee, there was one time I remember in my life where, you know, the tornado sirens went off in school. And we were just, I mean, man, a six-year-old, you hear this sound, you're terrified. And the kid, you know, the teachers tell you to go out into the hallway and, you know, you got to tuck your head into your knees or whatever. You know, how on earth you do that unless you do yoga every day of your life. And like you go there and then they tell you, I remember specifically this memory in my own mind, they had to call our parents to come get us that day because it was so bad. And I remember one very vivid memory in the car. When I got in the car and I was terrified, I was actually crying. I remember as a six-year-old, and I told my mom, Mom, I'm scared. Mom, I'm scared. And my mom, you know, at that point in my life, she was like, don't worry. There's nothing to be afraid about. I'm here with you. I'm here with you right now. But only as you get older do you understand that she must have also been very terrified.
Yeah.
Because not only is she worried about her own life, but she's also worried about her kids. The livelihood of her son, the livelihood of her daughter. I mean, this is serious. And the responsibility that the prophets have over their people is tremendous, that they cannot just make a decision and say, well, whoop-de-doo, you know, whatever happens to them happens to them. This is the same thing with the Prophet ﷺ. This is why, you know, a portion of his life was dedicated to migration, because he realized that we can't stay here. Not because of me, because I could probably handle it. I could handle it because I can withstand this stuff, but I don't want to see the people that I love go through this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tremendous responsibility. And so now Musa alayhi salam takes his people and they go through and they're very, very cautiously going through the sea and Fir'aun catches up to them. And there's a tafsir actually, and we'll end here inshallah because this is a good spot to end, that the tafsir actually says that there was a moment after Musa had crossed the sea and his people had reached close to the other side and he saw Fir'aun and his army coming through the sea as well. And Musa for a second got extremely worried that are they going to reach us? Are they going to get to us? Should I strike my staff again on the sea like my Lord told me to do, to collapse the sea for them, for onto them? And he felt these human emotions. Should I do something? I got to do something. I'm panicking. I got to do something.
They put on the line, the punishment that's on the line. Fir'aun is telling them that you will never, ever be able to live a normal life again. I'm going to cut your, as if it wasn't enough to just cut their hands off. What did he tell them? I'm going to cut off one of your right hand and I cut off your left leg. So if you try to be a person in society, to be able to make your own money, to be able to do anything, you will not have the physical ability. I'm going to mentally enslave you, physically enslave you. This is what was on the line.
Subhanallah. And you know, one of the most interesting things is that at this moment when Fir'aun is trying to go through the sea, it says in my battery on my headphones just told me it's at medium. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. It just got really loud out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's really weird. So at this point here in this, in Surah Yunus, Allah actually says here, he says that now at this point, that Fir'aun was actually pursuing them with his people. And he says, you know, Fir'auna wa junuduhu, baghyan wa adwan, right? That in tyranny and enmity, hatta إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ أَمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ. He says at this moment that until fear overtook him, until drowning overtook him, that when he was drowning at that moment, قَالَ أَمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ. That he finally said when the water was overtaking him, he goes, okay, I give up. Okay, I give up, I believe. And this was not a sincere plea to Allah. This was not, and this is why Allah actually laid it out as an example in the Quran. Allah would not have kept it in the Quran if it was not exemplary. Allah kept it in the Quran because it was an example for people. Do not live a life that is filled with abuse and assault and just taking advantage of other people. And in the final second, as some sort of like a last second Hail Mary hope, just be like, all right, fine, I give up and you win. That's not the way Islam works. That's not the way Islam works. You know, like when people say, like, as long as you accept this as, you know, your Lord and Savior, you're saved. You can do whatever you want to, and this is what you do, and you're saved by God. We as Muslims believe in illa ladina amanu wa amilu salihat. You don't just believe in faith. Amanu, iman is just half of it. Amil and Salih is the other half, that you got to prove your faith by walking the walk. How many of us, honestly, wallahi, how many of us have been through life seeing people who religiously talk the talk, and then when we look to action, we're like, what's
on earth? You see how they treat their family, it's not that great, you know. Meanwhile, you're the one talking about, you know, how the Prophet says that khayrukum man khayrun min ahli wa ana khayrun min ahli. Like, the one who's best, the best of you is the one who's best to their family, I'm the best to my family.
Absolutely.
And then you see them just...
Absolutely, and it makes no sense. And so this right here, when Fir'aun drowning, he says, La ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israila wa ana minal muslimin. He goes, I'm of the Muslims, okay? He goes, I'm one of the Muslims, okay? He just says this as a last second plea. And Allah goes, now, وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Like, when you were one of the most corrupt people your entire life, now you're going to say it? And Allah goes, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, you're one of my creation, but this is not going to work. This is not going to work. It's too late at this point. And so one of the things I wanted to end with, inshallah, because we're at 7:45 now, and I'll let Ustada Fatima, you know, give a last second reflection if she wants to. But one of the things I wanted to end with today is understand that Islam is not a last second religion. It's not a last second religion. You know, Allah says about the Prophet ﷺ, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. It was a pattern of beauty. The key word is uswat. That it's a pattern. It's not a one-hit wonder. Islam cannot be a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm going to troll around my entire life. And then like, you know, when I'm like 55, 60, when life gets kind of boring, I'm just going to start like doing this like whole salah thing and this whole like fasting thing and this whole like kind of abstaining from, you know, bad, you know, that's what I'm going to do that when I'm kind of bored. Islam does not work like that. Islam is a religion that requires you to put your best effort forward. Yeah. Islam doesn't always tell you to succeed 100%. Islam tells you to try.
Doesn't expect you to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is about doing the best you can with the circumstances that you have.
SubhanAllah. That's all Allah asks you to do, is don't put it off till the last second. Just try. And if there are any students watching this, because college students, this is a kind of college-oriented program. This is like the equivalent of like, you know, us saying, oh, you know what? Like if Allah really has my back, I don't really have to study. I can go make dua the morning of the exam and pray Fajr, and then I'm going to go wing this test. And if I get like a C, then what the heck? What's the point of me praying, homie? Like,
right.
But that's not how Islam works. Who told you that? You know, Islam tells you, put a little bit of effort in, study a few days, study a week or two, and then do your dua, then do your fajr, and then inshallah, Allah got you.
Yeah.
Islam has never been about miracles. Miracles come to those who put hard work in before the miracle happens.
Yep.
Musa alayhi salam had to take a leap of faith and run away from Fir'aun and go through the Red Sea himself before Allah collapsed the Red Sea on Pharaoh. It's because he did the hard work before. This is why Allah rewarded him with the escape from Fir'aun. And so that's kind of like, you know, the lesson that I wanted to end with today, inshallah. So the Fatima, anything before we wrap up?
No, I feel like we took enough time today.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. I'm sorry, when me and Ustadha Fatima kind of start, you know, ranting about Islamic tangents, we kind of get, this is like our normal conversations when we're talking about random stuff. But alhamdulillah, we had the blessing of being able to kind of, you know, remind us first and foremost, and then help us kind of reflect together as a community. So inshallah, we'll wrap up with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who show that pattern of faith and that pattern of effort and behavior. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be relieved of any sort of stress and anxiety that we have because of the effort and the work that we put in to lead up to it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit. Aisha, this is a regular session, inshallah. Every single Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, myself and Ustadha Fatima go live on the Roots Instagram account, and it's called Soul Food. So you're welcome to join in anytime, inshallah, on Thursdays from 7 to 7:30, 7:40, inshallah. All right, guys. Jazakum al-khair, Ustadha Fatima, for giving us your time. We really appreciate you again. And may Allah reward you and your family and protect us all and reward us all. Ameen. Rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum al-khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum as-salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.